This morning we'll be looking in Ephesians chapter 4, but before we do, I wanted to just make a few comments, and we're going to have prayer in these days of national emergency. And so I wanted to just take a moment to speak to you as a church. Good morning. I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest with us here today, we're delighted that you're here with us or listening from on media. We're glad that you're here. Psalm 112:1 says, "How blessed is the man who fears the Lord." And Psalm 112:7 says, "The man who fears the Lord will not fear evil tidings." The man who fears the Lord, his heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Psalm 112:7 says, "The man who fears the Lord, his heart is upheld, and he will not fear." So these days we've been overwhelmed by lots of information about the concerns, and we have found ourselves announced by the president in a time of national emergency. I wanted just to say on behalf of those of us who do ministry, and we all know this, there are people who are deeply troubled these days, not knowing what they should do or lacking real medical information. And we have a number of wonderful medical people who are part of our church, and they've been very helpful to me. And I would simply say to you, just to encourage you, if you know someone who's in need of, they're worried, they're troubled, they don't really have adequate information, make sure that you encourage them to talk with their doctor, talk to their medical provider, and to get advice from them. Many times we hear things on the news, or we hear things from politicians who are not medical people at all. And it would be better at this time if you were wise and encouraged others, yourself and others, to talk with medical people. If you do not have a doctor, if you do not have someone that you can speak to, we have a number for you, and I'll make sure that in the days ahead we have this in our slides and we put it on the website and other places. Our Horizon Hospital has a wonderful service called Ask a Nurse, and you might want to write this down. You might have friends that you could give this to. I'm going to be sharing this with some people that I feel like would be encouraged by this. If you feel like you're having some kind of physical situation, you don't know what it is, you're troubled about it, you can call 24/7, Ask a Nurse, Horizon Hospital, and here's the number, 615-514-0757. Ask a Nurse, Horizon Hospital, 24/7, 615-514-0757. When we come to these times of decision, and we make decisions as a country, we have all of these things that we've been asked to do. There are many consequences that come from this time of national emergency. However, there are also unintended consequences. I don't want to spend all of my time on this because we have some very important things to get to in Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll be there in just a moment. But these unintended consequences require of God's people ministry. So we will continue in these days of national emergency as best we can. Yes, be wise, be smart about your own physical health. If you're in a at-risk, if you're in the at-risk group of those 60 and above and you have health conditions, please be careful in your associations with others and be very careful. Talk with your doctor about it. Those things are important. The rest of us practicing hygiene and all the things that we've heard about are very important. But I do want to remind us all today that as these things go on in the world, we have ministry needs, and that the church must rise up in times like this and stand as those who trust the Lord, believe that He will help us, and also minister to the needs of many who are hurting. You may not be aware of this, but there's a large percentage, our school teachers could tell you this, and our other school principals and the rest, there are a large number. So what happens when we're on spring break this week, but there are those who say, well, you know, there may be extensions of time with boys and girls off. Well, even if it's during spring break time or additional time, we may not be aware, but there are many boys and girls who their main meals come at school in Dixon County. So when school's not in session, there's a real challenge for them to have something to eat. So if you know of families and you know of a situation, I've asked Pastor Ken, I've asked Pastor Ryan, I've asked Pastor Todd to gather information from anybody you call the church. We will do our best to help these families who have needs. Do you think that's appropriate? Do you think we should do that or not? You think that's important? I do. I think it's important. They won't have food. You might, I might, but they won't. Now's not the time to judge whether or not, well, they should or what happened. The point is, this is one of those unintended consequences. The second one goes right along with it. When there's no daycare, lots of people can't go to work. So there's a challenge with people's work schedules. This is unintended consequences, but they're very real. Now, how am I going to feed my family? What am I going to do with my children who need a place? Well, Pastor Mike, I don't have that problem, but I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about you doing ministry to somebody else. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. So the unintended consequences are that then there were some who will lose their jobs. It's amazing to me, and this is just, I don't want to, again, I'm trying to share the things I feel like are important for you to hear. Doing ministry as God's people is not done at convenience when it's an easy time. Steve said it really well when we were singing. Praise God when the sun's shining and the money's rolling in and everything's good, but am I going to praise God when the clouds darken up and there are difficulties? Do I really trust the Lord? This is a real challenge for some of God's people even today. The unintended consequence that goes on when we laugh about it, we joke about it, but actually it's a pretty sad thing. Todd took our trailer, and thank you for all you did. We filled that trailer full of supplies to go to all the dear people who are, talk about a national emergency. They have no place to live. They don't have anything. Their homes are gone. Every possession they have, gone. And as we do in this state, wonderful response. People coming from all over and volunteering. In fact, the supplies were so, Todd took the supplies and they turned him away. They had enough. They had more than enough that they didn't even need some of the things we had for them. That's unbelievable response. And yet the irony is, we can go to those in disaster, and then we hear this news about this national emergency, and people run to the store and empty the shelves of supplies that everybody needs. I have a problem with that. Maybe I'm alone in that. If you have done such a thing, shame on you. That is the height of selfishness, that you would hoard for yourself supplies and leave none for your neighbor. You can just take it whatever you want. You can get mad at me, write me a letter, come see me, fuss at me. It doesn't change my opinion. I'm going to say it just the same. We can be so giving and yet turn around and be so greedy because now we're in a national emergency. You know, you must ask yourself in a time like this, why are you afraid? That's what we've been talking about these conditions of the mind. Change your mind. This is, for us and what we're talking about these days, this is so important. This goes right along with the things we've been talking about. Why are you afraid? What is it you're afraid of? Some have said, well, you know, there are a lot of young people who are really afraid. This whole national emergency and all these things has made them fearful that they're going to die. I can promise you this as an old preacher. It's 100% certain that everybody in this room is going to die. The question is, are you ready to die? And are you ready to live? That's the question. What a great time for us. Unintended consequence. Share the gospel. This isn't the time for God's people to shrink down, shrivel away, hide. This is our time. Be responsible, health-wise. I have said this 4 times now. I'm not saying be irresponsible. Be responsible for your health. And after you're responsible for your health, step forward and serve your neighbor. Serve your fellow neighbor, starting by sharing the best news of all. Did you know that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son? Whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. You don't have to be afraid to die. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, even if you die, you will live. Isn't this what we should be saying? Thank you for the 130 names you have put in these boxes. saying that you're going to be praying for your one, your person, to be saved. Now we pray. Heavenly Father, in this time of emergency, we pray that you might help us to be the people that you've called us to be. Help us to be responsible neighbors and take care of ourselves physically. May we take care of ourselves physically. May we do the things that our dear doctors and our medical people tell us to do to stay healthy. Help us to be healthy. And if we're sick, help us, Lord, to have the courage and the respect to stay at home and rest and to get well and to do what the doctor says for us to do. Help us to be responsible in our health. And then help us, Lord, to have the courage in these time of national emergency. We pray for those who are sick today. We pray for those who are sick with all kinds of viruses. We pray for those who are sick with the flu, many of them in desperate conditions. Others who will die today because of other conditions and diseases. Oh, the world filled with sorrow and pain and sickness and disease. We pray for them all. We pray for you to, by your mercy and grace, fill their hearts and minds with the joy of knowing the Lord Jesus, even in their desperate condition. We pray, Lord, that you might help us as your people. I pray specifically for First Baptist Church that we, in these days of emergency, would be a people who are careful about our health, but then share and do as we best we can for our neighbor. I pray that you would help some of us to repent of our greediness and that we would even do such things as take back supplies that we don't need, give them back to the store so that others might have them, that we might find a way to help these children who do not have food to eat during these extended days, perhaps, of school being out. It's a desperate time for families. Help us, whatever we find in our hand to do that you've placed for us to do, give us the courage, the resources to do it. You always do. And we thank you for these days like we thank you for all the days of our life, so that we might honor and glorify Jesus in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So if you have your Bible, Ephesians chapter 4. Today we come to one of the darkest conditions of the mind. And I will do my best in my short time to speak to you about this, because it goes along with what we've been talking about those who are lost and without Jesus Christ, or as we've spoken of it in the past, the unsaved. The unsaved. What is the condition of mind of the unsaved? Well, here's the quick and dirty of it, so that I'll get to it so you hear at least the goal of what I'm trying to say. The sadness of it is that the longer a person lives in a lost condition, in an unsaved condition, their mind grows silent toward any kind of fear of God or guilt for sin. They have a silent mind. This is a terrible condition to find yourself in. Many of you who are in this room who've been saved, just like myself, many of us were on our way to a silent mind. But somewhere along the way, the gospel was shared with us. We heard the gospel. We repented of our sins. We changed our mind. We believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and we were saved. So today I speak these words to you, especially as we're talking these days about who's your one. We're talking about the importance of sharing the gospel. That's what we're about. Whatever the days bring, easy times, hard times, distractions, fears from without, fears within, whatever they are, we have a duty. We're to go and make disciples. We're to share the gospel. So I'd like for you to stand now and honor the reading of God's word, Ephesians 4, beginning in verse number 17. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk. How do they walk? How do they live? Well, here's the point. They live, here's the condition of the person who's lost, they're called Gentiles here, in the futility of their mind. That's the condition. Being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, and they have become callous, having given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. Heavenly Father, help us to understand your word today. Bless the reading of your word. May the Holy Spirit of God be our teacher today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The question of the day is, why do I feel nothing? why do I feel nothing? It's a very real issue for many people on the planet. I'm talking about all around the world, that they actually feel no guilt anymore. They feel no fear anymore. They feel no anxiousness anymore. They feel nothing. They are people without, they have gone past feelings, or as we would say, they have gone past the accusing of the conscience, reminding them of their sin and what they have done wrong. You see, why do I feel nothing? Well, the answer here is from this passage. The mind is silenced to the feelings of an accusing conscience. That is, our conscience accuses us, as we learned 2 weeks ago, Romans chapter 2. The conscience put in our mind, even the person who is lost, the natural man's conscience, still accuses. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done it. They're a law unto themselves. They know there's right and wrong. But over time, their mind is silenced by the willful, and I use these words on purpose, the willful pride of their life and the sinful living that they continue to engage in. So today we look sadly at this condition. You may have a friend, you may have a family member. You may have a child, you may have a grandchild, great-grandchild, you may have a person who sits right next to you at work, you may have someone who's your neighbor, and they're in this condition of having a silenced mind. It's a terrible condition to be in. And I want us to know and understand a little about it. First, the condition of the mind. Let me elaborate on this a little bit more. Verse 18. Notice, they have a futile mind. The word futile means a resistant, a deliberately twisted mind. That's the idea. A mind that is resistant to the truth and God's truth about the consequences of our actions. Notice Paul goes on and he describes the nature of this, the condition of this futile mind. It's a darkened mind, darkened in the understanding. They do not understand that there are consequences to their actions. They don't understand that if they continue to live in their sin and live in this ungodly way, that there will be judgment. They're darkened in their understanding. It's a blindness. It's blind-mindedness. Blinded to the truth of God's word. What do we read from Paul in another place? Satan has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they will not believe the truth. Their understanding is darkened. They have a lack of knowledge of God. Verse 18, they are, as we read here, because of ignorance that is in them. They do not receive God's word. They don't hear God's word. They don't read God's word. They don't want to hear it preached. They don't want to hear it taught. They're not interested in it at all. We go on to see that their hearts have hardened, just like ground that finally has no rain, finally turns hard. There is a hardness. Look at this description. Futility, darkness, ignorance, hardness. This is the condition of masses of people living on the planet today. Jeremiah 5:3 says, they have made their faces harder than a rock. They refuse to repent. Jeremiah 13:10, this wicked people who refuse to listen to my words, who walk in the stubbornness of their hearts. And I have it here for you on the screen, Matthew 13:13. The Lord Jesus, in talking about why he was sharing with people in parables, he was trying to open their minds, though they were closed, so he had to speak in stories to try to make them aware of what they could not understand. The disciples were able to understand these truths because they had repented of their sins and followed Jesus. He says, therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while they see, they don't see. This is the condition for many of our friends today who are lost without Christ. They see, but they don't see. They hear, but they don't hear. And they do not understand spiritual truth. This is the condition of the silent mind. Today we have the opportunity in the Word of God to diagnose and look at this, just like you would if you go to the doctor, and these days it's very appropriate, and have your tests to determine what kind of health condition you're in. This is the condition of many, many people who are without Christ today. the condition of their mind is gone to futility and darkness, ignorance and hardness. But I go on, and the causes of this. The causes are found as you read on. In verse number 19, it's this whole thing of pride. Excuse me, before I go to 19, let me show you this, the causes of the mind from a verse in Isaiah. I believe it have it. Yes. Isaiah 47:10. Look at these words from Isaiah 47:10. Isaiah speaking to Babylon, the nation, because of their arrogance and their sin, they thought they were better. They had taken over and conquered the Jewish people, God's people. And though God was going to judge Babylon, and he did, he says, you felt, he speaks to the wicked of Babylon, you felt secure in your wickedness. That's the way millions upon millions of people live today. They feel secure in their wickedness. They don't feel any worry. They felt secure. You felt secure in your wickedness, and you said, no one sees me. Whatever I do on my own. There's no God. There's no judgment. There's no accountability for my actions. No one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge, they have deluded you, says Isaiah the prophet. For you have said in your heart, see, this is in your mind. You've said in your mind, now this is the height of pride. I am, and there is no one besides me. That's why people go to the stores and fill their carts up with more than they need, because it's them and nobody else matters. I am, and there is no one besides me. My family has plenty to eat, so I guess it doesn't matter. I'll just pretend like that doesn't exist. I'll just close my heart and mind to those things and those troubles that are caused in these days of emergency. You see, this is the height of pride. It is willful pride like this that starts to silence your conscience. Pride silences the accusing conscience. Paul says in Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness of men and women who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. You see, if you live in unrighteousness, you're going to push down the truth. You're not interested in hearing the truth of God about how you ought to live toward God and your neighbor. Pride silences the accusing conscience. Pride hardens the mind to God's word. Jeremiah 7:26, they did not listen to me, but stiffened their neck. You know, we've got a little 4.5-month-old at the house, and that boy has already learned when he doesn't like something how to bow up and stiffen his neck. Anybody else ever seen that? Who taught him that? He's got the same problem we do, doesn't he? Pride. Stiffen my neck. I'm not going to listen to God. I don't care anything about what Jesus Christ may have said. I have my, no one sees, and I am me, and there's no one besides me. Pride hardens the mind, and over time, the longer someone lives without Jesus Christ, I hope you're listening to me, the harder it is for them to believe the truth of the gospel. Unbelief defiles the mind. Paul said, to those who are defiled and unbelieving, listen, to those who are defiled and unbelieving, their mind and conscience are defiled. The results of a silent mind, verse 19, they have become, what's the condition of a futile mind? When this situation takes place, something happens. They become callous. Callous-mindedness is insensitivity to the consequences of our actions, insensitivity to our conscience saying that what you're doing is wrong, to the work of the Holy Spirit trying to teach us from the Word of God. Callous-mindedness is unconcern about my condition of living in sin. Callous-mindedness is indifferent to the gospel and sinfulness. Callous-mindedness, it's much more serious than calluses on your hands, feet, or some other part of your body. Calloused, insensitive, unconcerned, and indifferent to the truth of God and to the Word of God. The sad thing in verse 19 is these surrender themselves to a sensual way of life. They live their life entrapped and chained to the sensual. It's not the spiritual that matters to the natural man. It is the sensual. It is satisfying the feelings of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. This whole idea of surrendering ourselves. Oh, the sad things that people do. Oh, the sad things they give themselves to as their mind goes silent and they live in horrible, immoral, wicked ways. This ought to concern us as followers of Jesus. It is believing the lies of a deceitful mind. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is more deceitful than all else, desperately wicked. You see, they begin to believe their mind instead of the truth of God's word. There's the choice. You choose your own way or you listen to the truth of God's word. They're sleepy-minded. Some describe this as sleepiness, sleepy-mindedness. Of Babylon, Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 51, he said, they sleep a perpetual sleep and they will not wake up. This is the condition. The longer a man or a woman goes without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, the more silent their mind becomes toward their guilt before God, their sinful ways. They don't care anymore. They're hardened. I remember standing before a man trying to share the gospel. His family asked me to come, living in another place. They were very concerned about him because he had never wanted to receive Christ, never wanted to believe in the Lord Jesus. And as I was trying to talk to him about being saved, he just put up his hands and shook his head, laying there on his bed, and he died that same day. Putting his hands up, shaking his head. As the man said to me one time when I was sharing the gospel, he said, well, you know, I used to go to church, but I got over it. He was very serious. This is something you don't want to get over. You want to have guilt. You want to have feelings and a tender conscience. You want to have, this is where I'm going with this in the weeks ahead. Oh, it is so important, my dear friends, that you maintain a good conscience with God and with man, and your faith in God is strong. And the way we maintain it is by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sleepy-mindedness. Living under the wrath of God, Paul says in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up for yourselves in the day of wrath the righteous judgment of God. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 6:10, to whom shall I speak and give a warning that they may hear? Behold, the word of the Lord has become a reproach to them, and they have no delight in it. So what do I say to my friends? What do I say to those who are becoming this way? I must make a greater attempt of urgency to share the gospel. I must call them to turn back. Turn back. What's the solution? What's the cure? It's repentance and faith. It's the same thing. As I live, the Lord said, declares the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from their way and live. Turn back, turn back from your evil ways. Why will you die, O Israel? Why will you die? This is our appeal. This is why we're here. This is why we meet in this building. This is why we do our work. We go and we make disciples. We share the gospel. We tell people that even if you die, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have eternal life and you will live. We go to share with them. We appeal to them. Why will you live in your sin? Why will you live in this hardness? Why will you go to your grave in selfishness? Turn back to God. Turn to Him. It's the appeal of saying to our friends and neighbors, turn back to God. Listen, before you lose completely any desire to be saved. And that's where they're headed, to a place of silent-mindedness and unconcern and indifference to the things of God. Oh, does it bother us that we find so many around us who live in silent-mindedness? So our friend, one of our family members was saying, she was with a friend at the store during this time of national emergency. And they were standing in the long line. Here was one man, his cart filled with toilet paper, aerosol spray. What's that you put on your hands? What's that called? Sanitizer. There you go. Thank you. Sanitizer. And the cart right behind him was filled with hard liquor and beer to the top. There you have it, don't you? Well, it doesn't matter anymore. I'll drink myself to death. Yes, lots of people do. I'll drug myself to death. Yes, lots of people do. I'll take my own life. Yes, it's a growing thing because they have no more feelings. They're all gone. They send away their feelings and their guilt. And now, as I've said to you many times, when you die, you enter eternity. When you die, you enter eternity. So what do we do today for our friends who have a silent mind? Well, we do what we've been doing. We appeal to them to be saved. The silent mind, by the way, will speak again. Oh, the lost man thinks, look, I'll just go to my grave and it won't matter. No, your conscience just keeps recording all of your actions and your deeds. One day when the books are opened at the great white throne of judgment for all the dead lost who have ever lived, who've chosen not to believe in the Lord Jesus, not only will the book of life be opened to see if their name is there, and it won't be, their conscience will then be revealing and showing and condemning a life of wickedness and sin. The conscience keeps working even though they won't listen anymore. The silent mind reveals this desperate condition of lostness. It's why we do all that we do here and continue to do it. We must pray. We must do everything we can to call our neighbors to wake up before their day of death comes. The Lord Jesus even said it to the church at Sardis in Revelation. They were starting to go sleepy. You know, the church gets sleepy. We get accommodated to the world. We get satisfied with what we have. It takes a little sting. It takes a little trouble to get us back to where we need to be. It takes a little tribulation so that we might learn to endure and trust God by faith. Oh, the sleepiness of the Sardis church. And the Lord says, Revelation 3:2, wake up! Wake up! Wake up. And here's the best news of all. Jeremiah said it. Is not my word like a hammer that shatters a rock? There's still good news for speaking to the hard-hearted man or woman, the Word of God. Not some kind little thought of the day, the Word of God. Speak the Word of God to them. Speak the Word of God to them. Allow the Holy Spirit of God to do His work. The hammer that shatters the rock, the hard-hearted, still comes from sharing the gospel right out of this book with those we come in contact with. Change your mind and live. Change your mind and you will change your life.